Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia Togba. God bless you. It is so wonderful to have you with me for another episode of A Year in the Word. Today, we are having our Sunday, Monday edition. Amen. Yesterday, amen, we were the Spirit of the Lord so much and enjoying fellowship, and we did not get the opportunity to come on the air, but as I promised, if we miss a day, we are coming back the next day and bringing forth that episode as well. So today we have Mark chapters 11 and 12 and 1 Corinthians chapters 15 and 16. So it's just four chapters, not very lengthy, amen, but I designated enough time so that we can read the word without any hindrance and any problem as we go forward. I am so thankful to have each and every one of you with me as we journey through the word of God. I give glory and honor to Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Keeper, amen, to the one who gives me strength, the one who loves me best and loves me most. I honor him on today because there is nothing too hard for him, nothing impossible for him. And he continues to move. Oh, glory to God. Amen. He has all good things for each and every one of us if we just hold on and hold out. The Spirit of the Lord will move on our behalf. Amen. And we honor him on today. We thank him, amen, for his mercy, his love, and his kindness toward us. We thank him because his blood covers us and it protects us. He is truly our hero. Amen. We look at so many things and so many icons and statues and this. Be our heroes, to idolize them. Why not idolize Jesus, the one who gave his life for us, the one who died, oh, that each and every one of us might have life and that our alienated relationships be healed. Glory to God. And so that we are able to stand in the presence of God Almighty and let our petitions be made known without any apprehension. We are able to stand in the presence of God Almighty, all powerful, all glorious, sovereign God. We are able to stand in his presence. Hallelujah, because he himself wrapped himself in flesh, dwelt among us, and he that had no sin gave his life for us, a sinful people, wayward, backward, and upside down. He gave his life for us, so that he can turn us upright and renew our relationship with our Maker. That was what we were intended to have all along. We were always intended to commune with our Maker. That was always our destiny, to commune with our Maker. I give glory to God. Hallelujah, because he loves us that much, that there was no sacrifice to be had in the earth. We see the foreshadowing of the Word of God in the Old Testament. We see the types and shadows, amen. But none of those could take away sin. It was a temporary means, amen. But it was also showing us that the Lord was about to do himself, because there was nothing, there was no perfect being that was able to do that. It had to be an absolute perfect, without flaw, sacrifice. And the only perfect sacrifice that had no flaw, had no sin, absolute perfection, is Jesus. Glory to God. I thank him on today. Glory to God. I'm praying for each and every one of you so that we all, amen, go up in glory together. Hallelujah. So that we all not miss this new move, this shift in the Spirit, because Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. Don't miss it. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, don't let us miss it, Lord God. Oh, cover us in your blood even right now, Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your love, and your kindness toward each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord God,
that you are constantly in pursuit of each of us. Each of us as individuals down the road, even down the rabbit holes, we have gone down. You go down too, to bring us up and to bring us out, to pursue us and to bring us life. Lord God, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise. And we honor you on today. God of our salvations, El Hayah, God of my life, I give you glory. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, because everything that was lost is being recovered right now in the name of Jesus. And the devil cannot do anything about it. Even though he is trying to pursue, the hand of the Lord is upon it, and he cannot. I give glory to God because he is our pursuer. And yes, the enemy does everything he can to bring folly in the midst of it so that you don't recognize the hand of God. But it is the hand of God that is pursuing you even right now. Father, I give you glory. Bless your people, oh God. Open our eyes that we see and our ears that we hear. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we rebuke the spirit of infirmity right now. Lord, there is one lying in the hospital, two lying in the hospital right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Let your miraculous healing virtue go forth into the hospital bed right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and dissolve the pulmonary embolism and dissolve the pulmonary fibrosis right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and bring their bodies back to homeostasis. Bring them back to equilibrium. Lord God, give them new lungs and a new purpose, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, to give you glory and to give you praise. Visit them, oh God. Let them know without a shadow of a doubt that it was you that was in the world. Oh, Lord God, we give you glory and we give you praise even now as you are manifesting your presence in the midst of your people. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. Open our minds and our hearts to receive of your word today, Lord. Even as the reading of the word is going forth, the spirit of the Lord is moving in the hearts and the minds of the people. And we receive you right now, Lord God, with everything that we know how. Help us, God, to receive more. Oh, God, you said if we draw nigh unto you, that you would draw nigh unto us. Here we are, Jesus, Lord, needing more of you every day. Here we are, Lord. Here we are, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, open up your word before us. Shine a light on it. Illuminate it before us. Give us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of its precepts, Lord God, and help us, oh, God, to be obedient to every jot and every tittle, Lord God, every accent mark, every period, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Let it be so in our lives in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord God, we bless you now. Amen, 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 amen. We give glory and honor, amen, to God, our Savior. Glory to God. Amen. We're in Mark chapters 11 and 12, and then we will go directly into 1 Corinthians chapters 15 and 16. Mark 11 and 12. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a coat tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the coat tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, why are you doing this, loosing the coat? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the coat to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things,
as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him because all the people. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Then they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. And they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one question. Then, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people. For all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, we do not know. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for the wine vat, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And he took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant, and at him they threw stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully treated. And again, he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Therefore, still having one son he beloved, he also sent him to them last, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words.
When they come, they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about. We know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius, that I may see it." So they brought it. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him. Then some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him. And they asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother shall take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. They took a wife. The first took a wife, and dying he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seventh had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife." Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken." Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, Paul answered them, "Well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But no one dared answer him. Then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore David calls himself Lord. How is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. Then he said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself, and assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." I have read and you have heard from Mark chapters 11 and 12. We are now beginning in 1 Corinthians chapters 15 and 16. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so do believe. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God and he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your fallen asleep in Christ, have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives the body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spirit is not man, was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on my way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Watch, stand in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us, I am glad about the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaia, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The salutation with my own hand, Paul's. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. I have read from Mark chapter 11 and 12 and 1 Corinthians 13. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and most of all the doers of his word, and sanctify the truth in our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you. God keep you. And God anoint you. Amen. I hope you will continue to be with me through this journey, through a year in the word. Amen.